Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Padres baseball for you tonight. 6:40 first pitch against the Chicago Cubs. Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt at 5:40. And so far this season, Woods, the Padres have generally come through when they've needed to. I mean, you can't think of many situations where they really needed a hit and they didn't come up with one.
They had that one game where they left so many men on base in Oakland. But other than that, yeah, they were like 1-for-11
or something. Yesterday's first inning, perfect example. Yeah. Two outs, you're getting out to the middle bottom of your order, which is, you know, considerably shortened with no Jackson Merrill and Jake Cronenworth. You really expect Oscar Gonzalez, Tirso Ornelas, and Jose Iglesias to all come through, but they did.
Tirso.
I'm not sorry. Yuli Gurriel.
Yeah. I was like, what? When did he
Oscar
get
Gonzalez,
called
Oscar Gonzalez, Yuli Gurriel.
How long have I been asleep?
Jose Iglesias to all come through, and they did. Three consecutive two-out hits.
Yeah, man.
Delivering and coming through for the Padres. And I wanted to ask you the broad question, especially after watching Rory McIlroy in the Masters yesterday. Do you believe in clutch? Is that really a thing that a person is or is not?
Yeah, I'm not clutch. It. So I absolutely believe in clutch.
Because
I've never been it. I never
The numbers will tell you that it's not really a thing. Even the numbers will tell you that Michael Jordan wasn't necessarily clutch. He didn't have a better shooting percentage at the end of the games. He just took so many of their game-winning shots that you remember the ones that he made. But he didn't have a...
He missed a ton.
He missed a ton. He didn't have a better shooting percentage at the end of games. He wasn't inherently clutch.
But I think
their runners in scoring position average goes up and down. And even Rory yesterday made so many clutch shots, but also made some absolutely choke shots down the stretch. So what is he? Is he clutch or is he not clutch? Are the Padres clutch or are they not clutch?
I think the definition of it is being able to still emerge victorious after you... the choke and clutch is an age-old debate, but was Rory clutch yesterday? Unquestionably. Unquestionably he was clutch. Why? Because he won the friggin' Masters. Like, that's by definition means you clutched up when you needed to.
But Justin Rose was clutch.
He was great.
He never made a mistake, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he lost.
Again, mistakes in golf is different. If he makes that putt, that 10-footer that he's probably made a million times, is that a clutch putt? Absolutely. Did he choke? No, he did not. He did not. It's you're kind of splitting hairs here when it comes to it. But yeah, man, I absolutely believe in somebody's ability to zone in at the right time. I've never had it. I wish I did. It's just one of those things. Like, I don't want myself up in the biggest situation. Like, I want somebody else up. I'm not clutch. Don't call on me to make that putt to win it.
And I've never met someone really who's competed at a high level who doesn't believe
want
in
it.
Clutchness.
Well, and they
almost always want
they
it.
They always want the opportunity. Like, Woodsy, we got a one-run lead, bases loaded, one out. Do you want the ball? Absolutely not. Give it to Paulie. Give it to anybody but me. That's why I'm a good manager.
It's funny though, because even in my limited experience of, you know, competing in golf in college, I recognize some of those moments where I feel like, okay, I need to come through here. And sometimes I did, and sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I felt like it focused me in, and I hit a great shot. And sometimes I felt really nervous, and like that hurt me, and made me hit a worse shot.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you the difference between the two. It was so hard to identify whether that extra adrenaline was helping me or hurting me in a key situation.
It's some guys can harness it, you know. Some guys wilt. I'm a wilter. I'll wear it. I don't care. I'm not going to come in here and be like, oh, I'm clutch as F. No, absolutely not. I think I made one clutch catch my whole life and was in high school in a huge, huge, huge bases loaded type situation, two outs, backpedaled like a moron, got lucky, stuck my glove up, made the catch. It's also one of those, I've always been that guy who's like, don't hit it here, don't hit it here, don't hit it here, don't hit it here. You know what I mean? Clutch people don't think that way. Clutch people are like, I want the ball, I want the ball, I want the ball. No, absolutely not. No chance.
But the numbers would tell you that those guys who want the ball don't necessarily perform better than the other guys as well in those situations.
That's true.
But everyone believes in it, and it feels real. I know in the moment, whatever you're competing at,
you're like, that was so clutch.
It feels real.
Yeah.
I mean, you come through and take on Woods. That's not clutch. I mean, you want the ball at the end of the game.
Yeah. All right.
What
fine.
Are you talking about, man? You're so clutch.
I will give take on Woods. I am Michael Jordan.
So is clutch really a thing, or is it just people who practice a lot at something and are really good at it also tend to be really good at it in situations where it's important?
I think it's just, I honestly, like,
is Rory clutch or is he just a really good golfer?
He's a really good
and
golfer.
Was playing good golf, you know, during the Masters.
Yeah. For me, it always speaks to the ability, again, to maybe not have your best day and still find a way to win. And you talked earlier about some of those shots that he made under duress, like the most duress that you can have. So I think he clutched up, you know, when he needed to. And given those two strokes back after the first hole, he even said, like you said earlier, I needed that. You know, just kind of, it makes you kind of laugh for a second. You're like, all right, let's get this show on the road, right? Giving that back immediately. Now, another person could absolutely spiral, death spiral. I got the lead going into Sunday at the Masters. I just double bogeyed the first hole. For a guy like me, Ben, done, over, I'm out, done, that's it. I shoot 17 over that day, if I'm lucky, you know.
We've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Greg Norman and others where it's just gotten, you know, they've gotten lost and they've never found the path again. But at the same time, I just feel like, especially with Rory, you know, he made such unclutch shots in moments where you felt like this should be the easy part. Now, you've done the hard work.
You've done the hard work.
You've gotten to the easy part and you're blowing it. How could you possibly be this good and blowing it on these easy shots that, you know, some amateurs could even pull off, and you are messing them up here? But then when he needed to, he came up with those moments. And what he said afterwards did stick with me. He kind of alluded to it. The failures that he has gone through. He said, I realized I bounced back pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, I've failed many times in my career in high-profile spots, and it hurt. And it was, I mean, everyone remembers that. That's the shot of him in the scorer's room at the U.S. Open when Bryson DeChambeau beat him. It's like hunched over the table with that face. And like, how is Rory ever going to recover? But months later, he was winning one at Pebble, one at Sawgrass, and now has won the Masters.
Yeah.
And he said, I bounced back before. All right, I made a double bogey. Whatever. I bounced back well from failure.
That's
resiliency.
That's resilience. And which is clutch.
Yeah.
Like, it's very clutch. I remembered when they were on the range together couple months ago, and Bryson told him, you choked at the U.S. Open. I mean, if you look at their two rounds yesterday, Bryson DeChambeau is the one that actually choked yesterday. I mean, he really did. He shot a 75. Rory shot a 73, but Bryson shot a 75. He was right there. He if anybody choked yesterday, it wasn't Rory. It was Bryson.
Who had the lead after two holes.
Golf Gods was
in the perfect spot.
Golf Gods got him yesterday, man.
I don't know. To me, it's a fascinating psychology of athletes.
Yeah. It's the most fascinating part of sports for me is the mental skills game. You can have one good game, and you're like, all right, my confidence is high. Next game, maybe you drop a fly ball. Next game, maybe you try six different stances in one AB, and you never know what can happen. But it's the part of the game I wish I had focused more on when I was younger, is getting my head right.
And I think good coaching sometimes can be a part of an athlete being clutch. The Padres under Mike Schilt have undoubtedly been more clutch than they were under previous managers. And I think part of that is an attitude that Mike Schilt brings, you know, the culture that he has helped to instill in that clubhouse fosters clutchness. Now, you're not going to come through. It's baseball. You're still not going to come through every single time. But there seems to be an expectation now, like Jackson Merrill likes to say, hey, when we're down one, we feel like we're winning.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
You know, there's a confidence and a calmness, perhaps, in those situations,
as opposed to
pressing and, you know, feeling, uh-oh, here we go again. They've completely gotten away from that under Mike Schilt. And that's maybe the biggest thing that he's done as manager of the Padres, is changing that attitude toward here we go again to here we go again. You know?
Yeah, here we go again.
Let's do this. Let's get this done again. I wonder how good Rory can be now going forward.
Yeah, the weight's off.
Now that all the demons have been
gone.
Exercised. He looked like a man who never had to face a doubt again. Like, all right, I mean, I could shoot 100 in every tournament going forward. I've won all the majors.
Yep.
Got the Grand Slam. There's no questions left in my career. He could blossom and go on a run now. I mean, the next major is at Quail Hollow, the PGA Championship next month. He has dominated there. He went on and won, I think that PGA that he won by like 9 or 10 or whatever it was, that was at Quail Hollow. He's won the Wells Fargo tournament that was there many times.
Yep.
Loves that course. I would imagine he'll be... Yeah, he wasn't the favorite of the Masters. Scotty was. But now I would say Rory is probably going to be the favorite going into the next major of the year.
It is a fascinating thing. I was talking to one of our guys yesterday, and he's been reading some of those mental skills books. Bob Tewksbury wrote one. We talked about it years ago. And then the one that – who was the football player that was reading it on the sideline? It was Eagles wide receiver. Who was it? Remember?
Right, absolutely.
In the middle of like the Super Bowl or something, he was reading it on the sideline.
Brought his book out.
Yeah, brought his book out. He's reading that, and yeah, man, it, sports will test your mentals like nothing else. Like nobody's business.
A.J. Brown.
Yeah, so good.
Inner excellence.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's – and, you know, listen, it's like clutch in sports I've never been. I can be clutch on this. I can be clutch doing this. I can be clutch in life, being a dad, being a husband, right? You clutch up in those moments. Sports, no.
But everyone who's gotten to the highest level, they've all put so much work in to get there.
For sure.
You know, what then separates the clutchest guys from just the guys who
opportunity, desire, practice, all of it. It all plays a factor.
So anyway, I just thought it was interesting in terms of the Padres, Mike Schilt, Rory McIlroy, and how clutch kind of all comes together and, you know, meets the moment when you actually get those opportunities to do so.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to give away those Warren Haynes tickets to Humphreys coming up on May 14th. Paulie's got a Rindle report as well, some headlines that we haven't gotten to yet this morning. All coming up with Ben and Woods after traffic on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, Woods and I want to tell you about TrustandWill.com. TrustandWill.com is exactly what it sounds like in the name. It's a place where you can go online and set up some estate documents, but without having to go to an expensive lawyer's office. You know, the billable hours are going to get you there. This is a simple process, can take as little as 20 minutes or so, answer some questions, and at the end, you have legally binding documents for you and your family just in case something should happen to you.
Take care of your business out there, right? Something that I put off for so long. And even when I had kids, I was like, I need to get around to doing this, man. And I'm so glad that Trust and Will came into our lives because they've made it really simple. Make sure you ask and figure out about getting the trust as well. Keeping your family out of probate court, lengthy. It's costly. It's not something that your family is going to want to do after you pass away.
And just to encourage you more, when you go to trustandwill.com at checkout, use the code FAN. Get 20% off now, plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by going to trustandwill.com and using the code FAN at checkout for 20% off at trustandwill.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Now, breaking NBA news this morning. After missing the playoffs and the play-in tournament with the largest payroll in league history, the Phoenix Suns have fired head coach Mike Budenholzer after just one season, I think. Yeah, just one season in Phoenix. My fellow Pomona College alum, he went there the year before I was there. He was on the basketball team at Pomona. So he's out in Phoenix. Of course, the NBA play-in tournament begins tomorrow night. I don't imagine we're at the stage yet where Woods gets interested. Mm-hmm. Is that the second round? Conference finals? Game 7 of the NBA finals, perhaps? Get you into the NBA.
You know, just with baseball.
He'll be too busy watching the Reds and the Royals.
With baseball going
game
on.
Game 7, but it's, I mean, come on. There's a
baseball,
really good AL Central game going on
soccer,
right now.
All kinds of stuff keeps my attention.
Fair enough.
I don't have much bandwidth left upstairs.
I know you don't.
I got this new show on Paramount Plus, Mobland. It's taken up a lot of my time. It's really good.
There are some good first-round matchups that'll start
later. I really love The Clubhouse on Netflix. That's taken up a lot of my time.
Clippers-Nuggets is very spicy. Kawhi is playing really well right now.
There's all kinds of stuff. There's Little League. Got Little League going on. T-ball. Got Easter coming up.
Easter. So I'm just big Easter guy.
Huge Easter guy.
Big.
There's just a
spiral-cut ham. You got some ham to eat.
I do. Big brunch to go to. Yeah. So, listen, all you NBA fans, enjoy it. It's more for you, because I don't want any.
I know.
So enjoy it. It's more
for
you.
You'll leave more for everybody else.
We got these, Hannah bought these snacks at home. Would it surprise you guys to learn this about me? That the first time that I ever tried Nutella was like 2 days ago.
Really?
What ever. The hell?
Never.
Now, I'm not a big fan of Nutella, but most people have at least tried it at some point in their lives.
I've never tried it.
Yeah.
We never...
It's a chocolate hazelnut spread.
Yeah. So I like hazelnut because I drink the hazelnut creamer in my coffee. So I'm not averse. Like, I'm not...
I hate hazelnuts.
So I love
that's
it.
That's why I don't like Nutella.
But I'd never... We didn't buy it growing up. My wife doesn't buy it. If I'm going to eat something, like spread something on something, it's peanut butter, right? But she bought these snacks, and I had a little bit of a sweet tooth, and I looked, and I go, all right, well, first time I'll try it. And it's like Nutella in this little wafer, and my kids love them. Hmm. So I tried it and was like, eh, it's all right. It was okay. But Bo was like, he's like, Dad, you really don't like Nutella? I go, buddy, that ultimately is a good thing. That's more for you. Because now your dad won't be in there pilfering your Nutella snacks.
Elisa wants to know, have you not had the Ferrero Rocher? Those are also, I believe, Nutella.
What is that?
It's the little candy chocolate balls that you get.
Those have Nutella in all of them?
I believe they are Nutella flavored. Yes, I also don't like those.
I don't. I mean, I might have had one before, but I've never gone out and bought a jar of Nutella.
Yeah.
And you know, I've seen people, like, they go crazy for Nutella. They put it on apples and all kinds of stuff, and I just never tried it.
It tasted like a kid. As a kid, it always tasted like chocolate.
Yeah.
Peanut butter.
Yeah.
Peanut butter, good. Chocolate, good. Let's combine the two.
It doesn't.
I do like the combination of chocolate and peanut butter, but there's something different about hazelnuts that I would
put on like some toast. If we had, I mean, we didn't have much Nutella at the house,
right.
But like my grandmother loved it. So when I was at her house, I'm like, cool.
You ate Nutella.
Throw some toast in there and yeah, spread it right on it. Delicious.
Yeah. I never liked peanut butter on toast either.
Oh, I love peanut butter on toast.
I like butter and jelly on toast or just butter. That's why I stayed away from Nutella always, but I did try it.
What flavor of jelly do you usually go with?
I go with strawberry or grape.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can...
I like the blackberry or boysenberry.
I like that too, actually.
Those are my favorite.
I figured you more as like an apple butter.
Ooh.
I don't know why.
No, not apple butter.
Or marmalade. I was going to say you like marmalade.
The little... they've got too many of the little pith, like rind strings in the marmalade.
Disgusting.
I don't like the texture. I like the flavor all right, but the texture of the marmalade sometimes gets me.
So I tried it and just said, hey, man, relax. This is good. This is a good thing for you because now I won't be in there robbing you blind of your Nutella snacks that you enjoy so much. That's how I feel about the NBA. You know? More for you guys.
Right.
More for you guys to enjoy.
I think the problem is that while Nutella snacks are a zero-sum game, you have 10 of them and Woods eats 5, that only leaves 5 left for everybody else.
That's true.
Watching the NBA isn't quite...
I'm not taking away from somebody else.
Some game that you're making it out to be.
Like, oh, yes, Woodsy's not watching, so I get to watch now.
Sitting there waiting for someone to click off the TV so you can get in to watch the NBA game. Oh, I'm aced out. Everyone's watching. I need someone to turn off so I can turn it on.
The NBA party line, like, no, you're fine. You can still get in there. No, that's fine. You guys do it. You guys take it tonight. No, I have less than... I think, Paul, you're an NBA guy. Are you going to watch a lot of these playoffs?
Not really until the conference finals.
Okay. What about you? We know Benjamin.
And then it also depends on like what the Padres schedule's like.
Yeah.
Now, if the Padres have like the 1 o'clock Wednesday game.
Put a game on at night.
On at night. Yeah, absolutely.
See, I think it's pretty compelling this year. The West alone, the surprise that we're the Lakers. I'm still a Lakers fan, God. So their series against Minnesota is going to intrigue me. But Oklahoma City finished 68-14. This year. I mean,
Shea Gilgeous Alexander leading the charge.
That is one of the great seasons MVP. We've ever seen. And yet people are still talking about the Lakers, the Nuggets,
give me the play-in teams right now.
I still don't even know the format.
Here's
how it works. All right, so the 7 through 10 seeds in both conferences are the play-in teams.
Yes.
7 plays 8. The winner.
Give me the games.
So in the West, it'll be Memphis at Golden State.
For one game?
For one game, woo! 8-7.
Okay, interesting.
The winner gets the 7 seed. That's tomorrow. In the East, that's Atlanta at Orlando. The winner gets the 7 seed. The loser then plays the winner of the 10 versus 9. So 10 plays 9.
I just fell asleep.
And that's an elimination game. Whoever loses 10 versus 9 is out.
You're done.
In the West, that's Dallas at Sacramento. In the East, it's Miami at Chicago. And then the winner of that game then plays at the loser of the first play-in game, and the winner of that gets the 8 seed. So it's basically a little mini tournament over three days.
It starts tomorrow.
It starts tomorrow.
I still don't quite understand it. I was able to follow most of that.
I did fairly simple.
The idea of a one and done, you know, game seven, like to stay in the playoffs, is enticing.
It's pretty compelling.
Like a mini NCAA tournament to start. And then you'll have your full eight seeds and you'll have your matchups, and the playoffs get started this weekend with all the one versus eighth and 2-7 as you go
that
all the way through.
That starts tomorrow night?
So the play-in tournament starts tomorrow night with the seven versus eight games. Yeah. The winner in as the seven seed.
Got it.
That'll be like Padres on TV, NBA on the iPad.
Okay.
I mean, what's interesting is that in the West, the seven and eight are really good teams. Both the Warriors and the Grizzlies went 48-34. They were just two games out of the three seed, which is the Lakers, at 50 wins. So you got two really, probably the two best play-in game or teams you've ever had in this tournament, because the West has been so good. So someone is, you know, going to have their season on the line after they lose tomorrow night, may not even make the playoffs despite a 48-win season, which is 14 games above 500. It's a really good year, and they may not even make the playoffs if they don't win one of their next two games.
It's semi-compelling for me, but I probably still won't watch.
That's kind of interesting in my mind.
It's like the NBA is always trying stuff, which I do like.
I appreciate it.
You know, not all of it's going to hit.
Hey, again, give me a team here.
I don't think the in-season tournament means anything to me.
Yeah, I think that's not much.
Stupid.
And, give me a and team them, here, and it, then we'll embrace it.
It feels fake that they're trying to like celebrate the in-season tournament championships and all that. But the play-in tournament, okay. I mean, that means what? So there's 10 teams total?
10 teams in each conference.
And like, so if you play tomorrow night, are you in the playoffs? Do you say you made
the
playoffs?
You're in the play-in tournament. No, not really. I don't think they call it the playoffs. You have to win to get in the playoffs from the play-in tournament.
That makes sense.
So that leaves 10 out of 15 teams?
They're still, 10. So 10 out of 15 in each conference are still alive. I mean, and then after 3 days, it'll be down to the final 16.
I thought it worked really well with baseball expanding the playoffs. I have no problems with that.
It's great.
I mean, it used to be the one-game wild card. It's kind of similar to the wild card. Now
and they
it's best
do five, seven.
Seven, 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 seven.
That's seven across the board.
That's the biggest
once
problem.
The first round starts. So it's a long process. It takes a couple of months to get through four rounds of best of seven.
But the one thing you can say, too, is like, you had to grind that out, man. That's no joke. To win that title is a big deal. That's a lot of basketball potentially that you could have to play and win. So that's, you know, you tip your hat to that, certainly. It doesn't sound like a very easy road.
Yeah,
The juggernaut?
Oh, the Boston Celtics won 61 games. They're the defending champs. They're the two seed in the East.
And Cleveland?
The Cavs are the
Cavs
one seed. They won 64, but clearly the best team in the regular season was Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Question is, they have no playoff pedigree.
Yeah.
Is it going to be different once the postseason starts? And, you know, I mean, the Warriors.
Like, they were like, if you took the average age of the Thunder, they were like 6 months older than Auburn was in the NCAA tournament. Like,
wow.
They're young, young team.
I mean, the Warriors, who were in the play-in tournament, were one of the best teams after they picked up Jimmy Butler,
yeah.
And, you know, Steph played so well down the stretch. They could make noise, but they got to get in first. You know, their season's on the line here with these
playing
games.
And everybody still says, good luck with Luka and LeBron on the same team in a best of seven.
And by the way, you know, Jokic isn't going away. They're a four seed. And as I said, Kawhi is playing so well right now. The Clippers are very dangerous at the moment. I mean, there's some good storylines in the NBA playoffs.
All right, can't wait for you to tell me all about it every day.
All right, fair enough.
All right,
we'll take a break. Paulie's got some headlines with the Rondo Report. First, though, let's give away the Warren Haynes Band tickets for the fifth caller. A pair of tickets to Humphrey's Concerts by the Bay on May 14th, 833-288-0973. And one of our winners this week is also going to win the grand prize. That is a Warren Haynes Band premium fan package, including access to the pre-show sound check. Tickets and premium fan packages are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. But again, fifth caller at 833-288-0973. Going to win those tickets right now. And then back with the Rondo Report after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And Cumber Gambler, GEG000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
You know, you can watch basketball playoff games or baseball games at 7 Mile Casino. They got TVs all throughout. It's one of the things that makes 7 Mile Casino such an appealing and inviting card room. They make you comfortable. They make you want to stay. The dealers are really friendly. The chairs are comfortable. It's light. They've got windows. You don't feel like you're in the back of some smoky casino. No, it's all about you, the card player, and they take good care of you there.
No question they do, and they got all the games that you're looking for, California-style blackjack, pot gal, baccarat, and, of course, Texas Hold'em. Just a great, great environment, again, smoke-free, and just so close to get to, just 7 minutes from our beloved Petco Park.
And if you're a high-limit player, they also want you to know you are very welcome at 7 Mile Casino. They will spread some high-limit action for the big-time players, take really good care of you. Please, it's our place. Make it yours. Right down the 5 Freeway in Chula Vista, 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
See, there are a few NBA fans in our chat. More Padres fans, though. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I'm definitely more fired up for Padres baseball this week than I am even for the NBA play-in tournament that starts tomorrow night. Padres and Cubs tonight, tomorrow night, and then getaway day Wednesday afternoon.
Did you ever think there would be a time in your Padres fandom that you would be more excited for Padres April games than Lakers playoff basketball?
I felt like in my early fandom it was like, I mean, we'll get to the Padres.
Yeah, June,
some point,
July,
you know,
right?
It doesn't matter that much, but like you said earlier, feels like all the games are way more important than they used to be.
They just really do. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and I get it. You know, the you cannot manage your emotions for 162 games, living and dying with each pitch. But the way that they've started this season, I don't know. Like, I don't look at it as like, oh man, we can actually take some games off and relax a little bit. I'm like, More. Keep the pressure on.
Adam in the chat says, 1996 and 98 were fun times in April. I specifically remember April of 1998 and what a great start that team got off to. In fact, I think they were the only other 13-3 Padres team. And in particular, I remember a Steve Finley walk-off grand slam, I think, on a Sunday early in the season. And you did feel like something special was brewing. Now, you didn't know for sure at the time, but you certainly had that feeling. And it is somewhat similar this year. I think in 98, one of the nice things was, I don't think you thought that the Dodgers were nearly as good as they were this year. You weren't challenged. You know, the Rockies were an expansion team. There wasn't necessarily the Giants or the Diamondbacks were going to be. I don't know if the Diamondbacks even existed yet in 98. It was their first year. I think that
was
their first year, yeah. So, yeah, the Rockies were 6 years old. The Diamondbacks were an expansion team. It was a great division to play in 1998 to get off to a good start. You knew, they could dominate all the way through. I don't get the sense this year, even at 13-3, the Padres are just going to run away with this thing in the National League West. The Dodgers are going to have something to say about it. It looks like the Giants and maybe the Diamondbacks will have something to say about it as well.
Sure.
But it is a really good start, and you've got a really good feeling so far about this year.
Makes these games absolutely appointment viewing, appointment listening. I mean, you just, again, you're plotting and planning your entire day around, you know, watching Dylan Cease pitch tonight against Jameson Taillon. I mean, it's just, you're counting the minutes every day, and it's a really fun thing to cover and fun thing to be a fan of. It's a blast.
All right, we will have more baseball talk later. Right now, though, let's get to some headlines with Paulie, the Rondo Report, right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition, the Rondo Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rondo Report with Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right.
How we doing, gentlemen?
Fantastic.
All right. Let's get to it here. We have some audio that I've been waiting to get to. This goes back to Friday night's game. Somebody sent this to me after Actually, I saw it on Saturday morning, I think. Justice Parman posted the clip of Eduardo Ortega, our beloved Spanish broadcaster for the San Diego Padres, one of the best to ever do it.
Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Yep. And like the game was over at this point, but Gavin Sheets also went yard on Friday night as the Padres whooped up on the Rockies. But Eddie's call in for the Spanish language call of the game was unbelievable.
So good.
That's the context. I wanted to hear this because I need. There is a certain drop.
Are we
in
okay
this
to play this? Or is this all right?
Are you kidding?
Why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't we?
Right,
so. Oh my god! Well, now I'm nervous. I was fine with it until you said something.
Went out over
he
the.
He said
air,
it right? on the airwaves.
Yeah, not ours.
I'm still playing it. I don't care.
Lo menciono porque lleva 10 esta noche, Nicolás. Dos bolas sin strike. Palo por la derecha es Gavin. ¡Holy Cheats! ¡A la calle! Cheats, Cheats, ra, 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 su número dos del año.
Legend. Legend,
amazing.
Legend, 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 legend.
It was like the pause. It was Gavin.
Holy.
Gavin. ¡Holy Cheats! ¡A la calle! Cheats, Cheats, ra, 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 su número dos del año.
Brilliant.
Amazing.
Holy Sheets.
That's going to be...
It's a good workaround.
It'll be in the tournament
it
drops.
Is. It's somehow... Like, if I just said Holy Sheets, you know that I'm talking about Gavin Sheets. Somehow when
correct.
Eduardo Shilt. Says it, though, it kind of toes the line a little bit more.
Yeah. Holy Shilt.
Holy Sheets! A la calle!
Gavin Sheets, Adam. Gavin
yes.
Sheets.
Holy Sheets.
Holy Sheets.
Gavin Sheets. I like those fun little... It makes me feel a little bit like a rebel, right?
I like being a little uncomfortable.
You have to be a little uncomfortable, right?
Because it's a... Sheets is a long E sound.
Yeah, Sheets.
But in Spanish,
correct.
The I also is a long E sound, mm-hmm. which then makes that word a little, like I said, just a little bit nicer.
Yeah. I loved it.
Can you play it one more time?
Sure.
Lo menciono porque lleva 10 esta noche, Nicolás. Dos bolas sin strike. Palo por la derecha. Es Gavin. Holy Cheats. A la calle. Cheats. Cheats. Ra, ra, ra. Su número dos del año.
He is just
brilliant.
The best. All right. We were just talking a little basketball, and I did see this morning. So
I thought we were done with basketball.
Guess not.
No. We're actually going to talk women's basketball.
All right. All right.
Paige Beckers, she signed a 3-year contract with Unrivaled, the 3-on-3 league that's fairly new. Breonna Stewart and others started this league, and they've been trying to get it going. Now, Paige is expected to be the number one draft pick in the WNBA draft. So I wasn't totally sure, but I've looked it up. This is going to be a league where WNBA players can play in the offseason.
Okay.
So the WNBA will still be, you know, primary job number one. But the reason that she signed with Unrivaled is because it's a 3-year contract and she signed for $350,000, which is more than she'll make as the number one draft pick in the WNBA over her 4-year rookie contract.
Man.
One endorsement deal. It's an endorsement deal. She signed with them as an NIL deal when she was at UConn. So now she's going to be a player in this new league, and she's already made more money than all 4 years of her professional rookie contract.
Wow.
She is expected to make, where is her annual salary? $78,831 as a rookie in the WNBA. That's the number one draft pick.
That's the maximum you can make as a number one draft pick.
So she's clearing all of that with one deal here.
It's a clear sign that women's basketball players in the WNBA are being underpaid.
Right.
Someone else can come in and go, women's basketball is big. We can do this 3-on-3, and we can actually pay them even more. We're gonna draw the top talent away. Now it's not opposite of the WNBA
right.
season, but
it's
certainly a competitor though. Still,
is it?
I mean, can you imagine if like someone said, "All right, LeBron, we're gonna pay you $150 million a year to play 3-on-3 basketball after
the
NBA
season
is over"? I don't know that the Lakers would be all that happy about the injury risk and everything that goes along with it when they're paying him $60 million a year. Yeah. But the LeBron
is it comparable to like the Caribbean Series, the Dominican Winter Leagues? Those guys are not getting paid, are they? Or they're not
I'm
getting
sure
paid?
They're getting
significant,
paid but something. It's not more than they're making in the big leagues, like it is here.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I don't know the bad. It's very new.
I mean, that's the reason so many WNBA players would play in foreign leagues outside of the WNBA season, because they could make more in the foreign leagues.
Yeah.
Than
this is
in the WNBA
supposed to be a more homegrown alternative to going overseas and playing in those leagues. Now you play here in this unrivaled league, but it's a 3-on-3 thing. You know, we've seen that with the Big Three.
Yeah, I don't love watching 3-on-3 basketball.
Care for it?
I don't like watching 5-on-5 basketball.
So. I know you don't.
Well, what's it's funny you say that. I got something maybe you would be interested in. If there's any degenerate gamblers out there,
bring me up.
No, apologies to our friend Amy Trask in the Big Three League that they do, but I don't love it.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't like the NBA. So we're gonna. I don't feel.
I also don't know why we're whispering, but I also don't like when it's retired NBA players that are like pushing 50.
Right.
Doomslayer says women's basketball loses millions of dollars a year. Are you kidding me, Ben? The women aren't overpaid. Used to be the case, but now with players like Caitlin Clark and a lot more attention, I would imagine that that is not the case anymore. I mean, she's filling up every arena that she goes to in the WNBA. They're making money now off of at least her.
At least her.
And some of these other stars that are coming in, and Paige Becker's a pretty big name. When Juju Watkins gets to the WNBA, she's going to be a big name. They're drawing more fans. That means more money for the league. That should be filtering down to the players.
Yeah.
There is a brilliant subreddit out there called Not the Onion. Stories that you would think are fake, but no, they're real. And this is right up that alley. There is a startup company in Los Angeles who is launching the first ever sperm racing league.
Thought he said sperm.
I did too.
Sperm Racing League.
How do you watch it?
Well, they're going to be live streaming their first event coming up later this month at the Hollywood.
I hate it here. Just let the asteroid. I'm praying for the asteroid at this point. What are we doing?
The is it Palladium?
Palladium.
Palladium.
Love the
Palladium. Hollywood Palladium Theater on Sunset. That's where the event's taking place on April 25th.
The event.
Tickets go on sale today. So this is me reminding you to get your tickets if you want. They have built a microscopic racetrack, and the track mimics the dynamics of a woman's reproductive system, and you are going to be able to see exactly who has the fastest swimmers between these competitors that they are pulling from UCLA and USC, crosstown rivalry.
Crosstown rivalry.
You can bet on these races?
You can bet. There will be press conferences. Weigh-ins, it says. Not totally sure on that one. Play-by-play commentary and live sports betting.
Now, if I remember my high school biology, there's usually like millions of sperm racing.
Correct.
I mean, what are the odds? It's like a horse race with like 8 horses.
I don't know exactly how the fine details like that work. They're saying that the point of all of this is to bring attention to fertility and turn health into a competition because it's something that you can train for, just like any other sport.
How do you train for it?
I don't know. Goose wants to know, where did the sperm come from? Well, Goose, when a mommy
loves a daddy very much, and they decide that this is the right time.
And they want to race.
The company says this is all about making male fertility something that people actually want to talk about, improve.
This isn't mental health where, I had to go through it. I've got friends who have gone through it. They're not embarrassed by it. Like, you got to go in. I had to go in with the cup, the whole bit. Remember, that was under my armpit driving the Vista.
Keep it
at
warm.
100 miles an hour. Like, right. You just do it. It's just one of those things. But, like, I just don't see this as a topic that men are like, I can't talk about this. So let's bet on it instead.
You can talk about anything, though. Not all men are comfortable talking about what you're comfortable talking
about. How does this make it better?
I don't know.
Does this make it worse? Oh, my God, I really do have the slowest sperm alive. I just went, I entered my sperm, I lost, I got my ass kicked by the guy from USC.
Can I put together a daily fantasy lineup?
I think I do that anyway.
Has it made its way to Prize Picks or Underdog?
Yeah, Underdog?
I do not know that. I just saw this story today. I was like, what?
This doesn't open any doors for men to be like, well, now I feel comfortable. You know? I feel like it makes it worse. This is unbelievable. I've heard it all. That's the weirdest Rindle Report story ever.
So when you will we get to meet? Are we meeting the donors?
How do they do? They deliver it. When do they deliver it?
At race time, or
all right? You want to talk about pressure? You're up. Like, all right, give me like I need like 20 minutes, man.
That says the first race will feature competitors from UCLA and USC, but eventually they hope to get celebrities involved.
Glory boys, just talk about load management. The greatest lines I've ever heard.
It's a good line. Good joke.
And this will be televised?
No, live absolutely stream. Not. It's on the Chevron app. Download stream. The Chevron app, and you can watch it on the Chevron app tonight. God, it's the worst story I've ever heard in my whole life, and I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
I've got
all. Every competitor is a bust. Fantastic.
Yeah, I've got the promo video. I'll make sure I send it over to you. You can get all the information you need.
Yeah, a live stream, if you will. You guys are too good, man. You guys are too good. This sucks. That's a crap idea. It's a crap story. And there's no redeeming of it. And I don't understand it. And I will gamble on anything. This is too much for me.
Wait until the athletes are looking for their NIL money and endorsement deals.
Yeah, trying to get their endorsement deals. I hate this. I hate it. They're doing it. This is the Palladium. Who goes to this? Who's there? They're paying people off the street. They have to. Like, there's just no way.
All right, it's next Friday night.
Next Friday night.
Maybe we just take a show trip to LA up there. And I just want to stand on the sidewalk outside of the theater and just see.
Why are you here? 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 Oh my God, Paulie. This can't be real. Are you sure you didn't get duped?
Bro, there's like a story from like KTLA. Where'd it go?
KTLA.
Oh, the very trusted KTLA. Oh my God.
I don't think this was a typo.
I don't want to do this.
The longest typo in history.
I do not want to do this anymore, Ben. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't. It's too much for me.
Go to spermracing.com.
Of course. You can get all of course.
Yeah. Can't believe that domain hadn't already been claimed.
Imagine like, you know, when you're watching your horse and you got you're like slapping, you're like, come on, baby, come on, come on, come on, baby, come on, go, come on. Tony Soprano yelling for pie, oh my. Come on, pie. Come on, baby. Come on, girl. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It makes me want to flip over a table. It's infuriating.
I got into like PB Short Club when I was younger, and they do the goldfish races on like Wednesday nights or something.
This is unbelievable. Who greenlighted this thing? Or greenlit it? Who greenlit this project? I want to see the deviant responsible for this.
Paulie, thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thanks for ruining my entire day.
To the
Paulie.
End of a Monday edition of Ben and Woods. Braden is coming up next. We will rejoin you tomorrow morning at 6. If Padres can take care of the Cubbies tonight. Until then, for executive producer Paul Reynolds and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday, everybody.